Welcome on board to our sixth episode of Takeoff MTL podcast, where we talk about all things airport and travel related. I'm your host, Sarah Shrewer from Montreal, and I'm here to take you on a first-class trip behind airport gates. In today's episode, we'll be going behind the gates with Stacey Jackson, a pilot for WestJet Airlines based in Toronto. Then we'll be going on board with Jessica Richardson, a first officer for SkyWest Airlines based in Chicago. So first, let us welcome on board Stacey Jackson. So tell me, Stacey, how did your career in aviation begin?
I started in aviation actually by accident. I was involved with the Royal Canadian Air Cadets for the leadership opportunities. And one weekend, my squadron went on a gliding opportunity at Canadian Forces Base Borden. And I went up for a glider flight with an instructor. And it was a beautiful fall, crisp morning. The leaves were colors of red, orange, yellow, like I had never seen. And it stuck with me so much. And when we landed, I thought to myself, this is one of the most incredible experiences I have ever had. I need to find out how I can do this for the rest of my life.
That's so cool. And when you began this journey, was there any kind of figure that you looked up to or someone that inspired you?
Honestly, this was back in the days before the internet. So my knowledge of women in aviation was very limited. I had heard of people like Roberta Bondar, who had been a successful astronaut. But aside from her and other figures like Amelia Earhart, it was very, very limited. So when I was going through getting my licenses, I was so lucky to have peers that were so very supportive of my journey and their journey. So I really looked to my peers for that kind of support at that point in my career.
So while you mentioned your peers, back in the days when you were doing your studies, were there a lot of women in your classrooms?
Oh, yes. So when I did my initial training, I'd say we were probably 25% of the class was women. And that was fairly normal from what I could tell. And then when I went to Sioux College, our first year had 109 students. And of that, there were only 9 women. And I was the only one that graduated 3 years later.
Wow. And why do you think you were the only one?
It's hard to say. The program at the time was quite challenging. I'm not sure what it's like today. I haven't kept up with my alumni duties, but a lot of students, and of that 109, only 44 graduated. So a lot of men and women either decided it wasn't for them, had found the program too challenging, or the milestones that needed to be met too rigorous. And some people just decided that flying wasn't for them, but they loved aviation. So many became air traffic controllers, became meteorologists, became flight attendants, became managers, became maintenance controllers. And I think when you're a young person, you don't really know what about aviation you love. You just know you love it and you're passionate about it. And it seems obvious to start off with, oh, I'm going to be a pilot. But as you get more into it, some people realize, you know what, I actually prefer being an air traffic controller, or I prefer working on them, or I prefer, you know, working with the clients and the passengers as opposed to actually flying the planes. So I think for anyone that's involved in the aviation industry, there's a passion there, but sometimes we don't always know where that passion should take us.
And from what I can see in your pictures, you have 2 young children. How do you juggle? How do you balance it all, being a flight and being a mother? They're very young. I mean, from what I can see, how old are they?
I have a daughter who is 4.5, about to be 5 in October. I have a son who just turned 3 in May. And we have another baby due in August.
Oh, wow.
So it's very busy. My husband has been involved in aviation for 30 years. He was an air traffic controller in the military and then overseas, and has worked with pilots and controllers his whole life. So he's very well versed as to the aviation lifestyle and what it means. So what we do is we figure out a plan for daycare. We sometimes use family members. If he has to do a travel, I'll book it off. If for whatever reason there's something last minute that we didn't know about and he has to be away from home, then I trade shifts, or we can talk to crew scheduling and see if they can switch my shift around if it's pretty dire. But we can bid our schedules a month in advance, up to 3 months in advance. So we're very well organized when it comes to the schedule and what I'm going to ask to fly. Also, we talk a lot. We have a lot of open communication, and he's aware that this is a passion for me, just like I know that his job is a passion for him, and we compromise. So some months I have to fly trips that I don't want to, just because it means that I get to be home with my kids or with him, or it allows him to travel. So a lot of sacrifices, a lot of compromise, but in the end, it makes for a really happy family.
And what about the children? Do they sometimes miss you? Do they understand at such a young age that this is part of your jobs?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. When I went back off of maternity leave with my daughter, she was a mess. She didn't handle it well, and honestly, neither did I. I was a mess too. I missed her so much. And then when I went back to work after my son, he was like, okay, goodbye, see you later, Mom. He did not care whatsoever. and I was like, okay, guess I'll just go fly now. And now when I leave for a trip, a lot of my flights are one day flights. So they know I'll be back later that night. And if I miss bedtime, I'll come tuck them in, or I'll say, I'll give you a kiss before I head to bed. And that they're pretty okay with that. If I have to go on longer trips, say 3 or 4 or even 5 days, I'll pack storybooks in my luggage. And then what I'll do is in between flights, or once I get to the hotel, I'll find a quiet corner, and then I'll sit down and I'll read them their bedtime stories. If I'm doing morning flights, if I'm on evening flights, I try to get in touch with them during the day. So they're pretty used to the schedule, and they know that Mom always comes home. But there are still some days that are harder than others, where they just don't want me to leave. And that's tough. But also, I try to remind myself that this job allows me to be home so much more than any other job. So for example, this year, their holiday concerts were during the day, and I booked it off in advance, and I was there, whereas most parents wouldn't be able to be at a school concert at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, but I was. So there's a lot of added benefits to that. So it's a balance.
It's so great that you get to do that, and it's so great that you get to plan a month and sometimes up to 3 months in advance. But do you think that that has to do with your seniority, the fact that you've been a pilot for so many years? Someone entering aviation at a young age, do you think he or she would get that option as well?
Well, it depends on where you work. So some airlines have seniority-based bidding. And it's true, if you are the most junior pilot, you will probably be flying Christmases and New Year's and all the holidays, and you might not get your choice of when you're home. With WestJet, it's socialized bidding. So everybody has an equal opportunity to get Christmas off, to get holidays off, to work a holiday if you really want to work. So for example, I've been at WestJet for 6.5 years, and I have not worked Christmas once. So it really depends on your airline and the policies that your pilot group has in place.
And during your career, during your journey, were there any big challenges, any big roadblocks that came along your way?
Absolutely. The very first job that I had, the airline was sold within a year that I got there. And it got sold to a float plane operator, and I didn't have a float rating. And I had been flying all their wheel aircraft. And so they told me, they're like, well, you can either go back to working dispatch or go get a float rating. And I did not have enough money to get a float rating at the time. So I applied everywhere. And I ended up getting a job in the Caribbean of all places. And I loved living down there. And that opened up so many doors and led to so many opportunities to network and so many amazing experiences. But every pilot experiences those challenges. So you will see airlines shut down, airlines get sold, pilots become furloughed, 9/11, now with COVID-19. So all these big monumental events that are happening in our world do really challenge the airline industry.
Definitely. And how is your airline responding to COVID-19? Are there a lot of layoffs happening for the pilots?
There has been one round of layoffs so far, but WestJet is really doing everything they can to prevent job losses, in my opinion, from what I have seen. I think they're doing a really great job communicating with us. Everyone is taking concessions. Everyone is modifying contracts just to try to keep the spending down and just to weather the storm, with the goal of once this is over and we can start rebuilding, that everything will eventually go back to a new version of normal.
Definitely, hopefully. And tell me, Stacey, what are you doing personally to break the stigma around women in aviation?
I think that women in aviation for a long time had to be better just to be considered an equal. And I experienced a bit of that at the very beginning of my career. But as I moved into more professional scenarios, that attitude I didn't see very often. And if I did, it was very, very rare. I think now that women being in aviation, especially in a pilot role, it's becoming so commonplace. If you look at the regional airlines and some 703 operators and flight schools, there are a lot of women there. They realize, they see through social media and through the internet that this is a job that's easily attainable if you put your mind to it and you work hard. And it provides a phenomenal lifestyle to have a great family if you want it, or travel if you want it, or both if you want it. And I think that that attitude towards women in the industry is changing. Some people have biases against people that are different, regardless of gender or race or creed. So you'll always find those types of people in the world. But I think that for the most part, women are a lot more accepted now in the industry than they were 20 years ago.
For sure, I definitely agree. And if you had to give a piece of advice or some tips to any young girl that wants to become just like you, become a pilot and enter the field of aviation, what advice would you offer her?
If for whatever reason you hit a roadblock, or a door slams in your face, or someone tells you no, figure out why that happened, figure out the reason behind it, and see if there's anything you can do to change it. And if there's not, then you have to just keep plugging away and become dedicated to your job and to your career more so than you were before. And if there is a reason for it, try to find a way to change your perception or your attitude around it. So if someone gives you some constructive feedback, constructive criticism, sometimes that's difficult to take because we're all trying to be the perfect pilot. But the perfect pilot doesn't exist. What does exist is a pilot that's humble, professional, can take a criticism and can put that in their toolbox and learn from it and pull that out when they need to in an emergency or in a daily situation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is always try to be the best pilot you can be. When you realize that you have a shortcoming or something that isn't as perfect as you want it to be, try to find a way to make that better and use that to make yourself a safer pilot.
That's excellent advice. Thank you so much, Stacey. And I'm sure that along the way you've had a lot of rewarding moments. Can you recall a moment that you will never forget?
Rewarding. There's been so many rewarding moments. We were working in Africa during the military coup in South Sudan in 2013, and everything was really falling apart. The UN had very little information on what was happening because it was very, very sudden, and they did their best to get us the information that we needed, absolutely, but we were still very in the dark. And I remember we got a call from the UN asking us if we would take a flight to a neighboring country because they had to get some refugees out of the country because their lives were in grave danger. And we were able to make that flight happen for that group. And I remember thinking to myself, this is exactly why we're here. We're here to support the people of this country. We're here to support the people of neighboring countries. We're here to support the United Nations. And just after we came back from that flight, we got a call to go take up some supplies to a faraway airport within the country. And when we dropped off the supplies, we had an ambulance rush over to the aircraft. And they said, this is the one of two survivors from an attack. You need to get him back to the main city, because if you don't, he's going to die. So we quickly checked in with air operations to make sure that that was okay for us to do. And they completely agreed. And so we had this injured person and a team of medical people in the back of our aircraft, because we had a combi aircraft. It was half cargo, half passenger seats, and a bulkhead dividing the two compartments. So we had this medical team in the back trying to keep this guy alive. And the airspace around the city that we were flying to was an absolute mess, because there was like one tower, one runway, one frequency, and everybody was stepping all over each other. So we declared an emergency. Well, we started off by declaring a pan-pan, and then we declared an emergency and explained the situation quickly over the frequency. And we landed and got this person into an ambulance very, very quickly. And they managed to get him stabilized and fly him back to his home country eventually. And he lived. So we've seen some pretty crazy things out there, and we've experienced some amazing things. And it's all, I mean, those are just two stories from 15 years of flying overseas. It's incredible, really.
I have no doubt. So despite the fact that you have to schedule 3 months in advance sometimes to figure out how you're going to balance being a pilot and having a family, the reward and the experiences and the things you get to see, I'm sure you cannot see them in any other field.
No, exactly not. I mean, maybe medicine, and maybe some other high profile or high paced careers. But this career has let me travel all over the world. Before my daughter turned one, she had been on 90 flights. We took her everywhere, all over the world. Both my kids have been to Japan. They've been to England, Ireland, Scotland, all over the United States, the Caribbean, Europe. We take them everywhere because it's just so easy to travel. I mean, when you're part of an airline. So it really is quite an amazing life.
It sure is, Stacey, and you're so lucky to be able to do this with your family, and I'm sure that these are experiences that they'll never forget. Thank you so much for being on the call with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
Thank you so much for having me. I love reaching out to our next generation of aviator, male or female, and this is a great industry. I know that right now things seem a bit crazy and a bit detrimental, but I went into aviation a year after 9/11 happened, and it was years before we saw the industry turn around, but it does, and it led to some amazing opportunities. I've worked in British Columbia, in the Caribbean. I worked overseas for the United Nations. I was in Afghanistan and all over Africa. I flew for a regional airline in Canada. I'm now at an airline, and even though it wasn't just student, instructor, regional airline, I would not change my career path for anything in this world. I've had crazy experiences. I've met amazing people. I've had such an incredible life. I wouldn't trade this for anything.
For sure. That's wonderful. Well, I hope that your kids get to see the other half of the world. They've already seen half. Thank you so much, Stacey, for being on the call with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sarah, for inviting me. This was an absolute pleasure.
Attention passengers flying to Takeoff MTL Podcast. Please have your headphones in hand as we go on board with our second guest for today's episode, Jessica Richardson, a first officer pilot for SkyWest Airlines.
Welcome on board, Jessica. So Jessica, tell me, what got you into aviation?
My dad is a private pilot. He got his license like 3 months before I was born. So I joke, and he took my mom flying. So I joke that was my very first airplane ride. And then, but he is no longer current, but I think just like since he liked it, I kind of got interested in it, but I never really pursued it until about 6 or 7 years ago. I met a Delta pilot and she told me about the Women in Aviation Scholarships. So that kind of got me started and kind of took off from there.
That's so cool, Jessica. And in your journey of becoming a pilot, did you always find that support that you needed? Were you at sometimes questioned about your ability of becoming a pilot because you're a woman? And it's said to be difficult to balance having a family and being a pilot at the same time. How was your experience?
I've been very lucky. My family has been very supportive. And I've had very little, if any, like, I can't think of any big things that pop up in my mind of anyone telling me that I can't because I'm a woman. So I've been very lucky that way. Even, like, the flying club that I joined to learn how to fly was primarily men, obviously, when I joined. And they have all been so supportive and encouraging me and even encouraging me to do things that, like, I had put self-limits on myself. So like in my own mind, I think probably the biggest person I've had to overcome is myself, because I do not have a family, but I would like to have a family sometimes. That's always been a huge question in my mind. But I have had the support of some Facebook groups, the 99s, other ladies in aviation who do have families. And so I've been able to talk to them and see, oh, they do it too, you know? But I've been, yeah, so lucky to not really have too much, very many people saying, oh, you can't because you're a woman. I've actually had quite the opposite. So I'm very thankful for that.
That's really a blessing. And, you know, you hear all these different things from different people. You have some people that say they have an amazing experience. They don't see themselves doing anything else. And you have other people that tell me, it's great and I still wouldn't be doing anything else, but I do see some sexist comments sometimes being said, and it's unfortunate because there's such a small percentage of women that are in aviation, and we have to encourage more of women of entering the field.
Yes, I very much agree with that, and I've also been very encouraged not only through my flight training, but now that I started flying for the airlines, how many captains have told me that they've noticed that the female pilots are usually the better pilots, better attention to detail and just better pilots overall. So, and even tell me we need more women in aviation. So I think things are changing and I'm very, very thankful for that. I've been very encouraged by that.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, Jessica. And tell me, how do people react when they see you as a female pilot walking out of the cockpit?
Usually, because I'll stand at the door as people are deplaning, and I've not gotten any negative surprise looks yet. But I'm fairly new. I've only been flying for a few months. But so every once in a while, I'll get kind of a surprise look and then a smile. And probably my favorite was an older gentleman who was a Vietnam vet. He was wearing his Vietnam hat, and he looked up, and he was like kind of surprised, and he smiled, and then he saluted me. And so that just kind of warmed my heart. I was thinking, oh, sir, I should be saluting you.
What a beautiful story, Jessica. Tell me, how's your schedule like?
So right now, since I'm fairly new, I've been having it's kind of hard for me to tell because I'm not sure what normal is, but right now it's been something like 4 days, like a 4 day trip. So I'll drive to Chicago, go on a 4 day trip, come home, and I'll have like 3 days off or so, and I'll go back for another 3 or 4 day trip. This month I had like a 4 day trip the first I guess last week, a 4 day trip, and then a 4 day trip this week. And then I'm going to have all next week off. So it's just kind of, it's not super consistent, but the more senior you get, then the more consistent you can make it. Cause you can, kind of ask for trips, that fit into your schedule. So you can work only, you know, 4 days a week and then have certain days off. Or if you want to work just the first half of the month and then have the second half of the month off, once you're senior enough, you can do stuff like that.
For sure. And are you experiencing right now any layoffs in the field? Have you been seeing any layoffs of pilots because of Corona?
Yes. So the October 1st is kind of the big date that everybody talks about. Because lots of airlines took government money. The government money is basically to, well, there's probably a lot of things, but one of the things is to help keep paying the employees so they don't have to lay them off yet. So far, I have not seen layoffs, but I know that some of the bigger airlines have announced some layoffs come October 1st. Nobody really knows, of course, but I keep hearing, as far as my company goes, I keep hearing good things, or I guess a little bit of hope that possibly we won't have layoffs or not too many, which makes me happy because I am at the very bottom of the seniority. And when they start laying people off, they start at the bottom. So I think it's kind of hard to tell right now, but there's definitely a lot of kind of unrest and uncertainty in the industry right now because of Corona.
Definitely. And what do you think are some of the repercussions of Corona on the industry as a whole?
I can kind of see they're sort of like 9/11 kind of put TSA into place. Possibly Corona is going to put some things into place. One of the kind of nice side effects is everything is very clean. You know, they're cleaning the airplane very well after every flight. And I kind of feel like overall passengers are more conscious of like not traveling when you're sick. Because number one, they're not even going to let you if you're obviously sick. And I think people are just a lot more maybe conscious of, yeah, just not flying when you're sick. Because people are on high alert now and they're going to look at you funny if you're over there coughing on the plane. Because I remember before all of this lockdown and before like masks were required, I was on a flight and there was somebody on the plane that was clearly sick. They were coughing. They were wearing a mask, but like later I also got sick. It was just, it wasn't Corona. It was like the flu or something. But anyway, I just feel like people are a lot more conscious and maybe a little more considerate now about flying when sick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely hope so. Jessica, if you had a piece of advice to give any young girl that is dreaming to be aspiring to be a pilot just like you, what would it be?
I would highly recommend looking into seeing if there's a 99 or a woman in aviation chapter in her area and really kind of look at all her options as far as flight training goes. You don't have to go through a college. You definitely can, but you don't have to. I didn't. And a lot of times it's a lot cheaper that way. And just really find a support group, and whether it's through Women in Aviation or the 99s or even like my flying club, it was all guys, but they're such a great support group. Having that support is so important because flight training is hard. It's very rewarding, but so hard. And you need somebody that you can go to and be like, is this normal? You know, is it normal that I'm struggling with this? So find that support and apply for every scholarship that you are eligible for. And don't be discouraged when most of them come back and say that you didn't win, because there's a lot. I've won a lot of scholarships. There's way more that I have not won. But you won't win if you don't apply. And don't give up. You can definitely do it. If you want to do this, you're going to find a way to do it. Just like that person told me a while ago, don't let anything get in your way. Nothing can get in your way. Don't let yourself get in your way, or other people, or finances. You can do it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jessica. That's a great piece of advice. I really appreciate you being on the call with me today.
Yes, you're welcome. It was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
And that was all for this week's episode of Takeoff MTL Podcast. I'll see you next week, where I'll be interviewing Mackenzie Lowen, a pilot from the U.S. Air Force, and Rusty Carba, a commercial pilot from Wichita. See you then!